Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is it. We are live, and here we go. This is the Eric Terrell Show, okay? And today is the 11th of November. Happy belated birthday, Brenda. Happy birthday, Margaret Berger, okay? It's November 11th, all right? Why do the youth hate church? Now, hate is a strong word. I'm not sure that's exactly what I meant when I created the topic because, you know, I kind of just go for it. I kind of just throw my words out there, whatever sounds most impactful, whatever is going to make people click on it. But what if they do hate church? Okay, and obviously, when we talk about youth, we're talking about young people. I mean, not because typically, we mean youth in church when we use that word. You know, usually young people out of church are just called young people. But in church, we say youth. So we're not exactly talking about the church's youth today, this evening on the Eric Terrell Show. We have Minister Mike Berger. He's going to join us in a few short moments. And I have a co-host. Who my co-host is? You tell me, okay? You can call in and be my co-host if you want to. But I do, Clayton or Asia, you guys know. My co-hosts, they drop in, they drop out, but I love them, all right? And I do think Asia's going to join us in a few short moments. But until she does, I'm going to talk about what's relevant. I'm going to talk about what's relevant. And before I do that, I want to give you the results of this study, okay? I got a study right here. I got a study, people. And this study was done on ChristianityToday.com. The study resulted, 80% is the result of the study that discovered how many young people confessed to giving up church. Lifeway Research did this study on ChristianityToday.com, and they said 70%. I said 80 at first. 70% of young adults dropped out of church. Okay, now I know I said young people, and now I'm saying young adults, but I'll explain that in just a second. Okay, 70% dropped out of church. All right, that's it. Okay, because I might have confused you on my way to this point, but just know that I did all that nonsense just to say that 70% of young adults dropped out of church, according to Lifeway Research's study on ChristianityToday.com. Now, here comes the 80 part. This is why I confused myself and confused you guys, because the 80 number comes in right here. 80% of that 70%, so 70% of young adults confessed to dropping out of church. Now, 80% of that number confessed to doing so post high school. All right. Now that is why I said it would make sense that I changed it to young people, because that is not exactly youth. We're talking about 18 years old, 17 years old, maybe 19 years old if high school took them 6 years. But 80% of the 70% that dropped out of church admitted to doing so after high school, okay? Now, 86% of that 70% did so after graduation. So we're talking about a year after graduation. And it also says that these young people said that they never returned to church, which is weird. It's kind of a whole lot to say. But obviously that is not all the way true, because there's no number to that. I mean, because this study wasn't done before all of the people in the study passed away. You know, we don't know if they went back to church or not. So that's just something that they said, that they are not going back. So that's what we have. Now, what's really relevant. Here we go. I don't have anything funny. No headlines even. But for the really relevant segment today, I'm just going to shout out a group of people. A group of people who bled and fought and sacrificed for you and I. All right. Now, a lot of people use the phrase, they better than me, or he better than me, she better than me. Somebody tell the truth in a situation you would have lied, they would have said, yo, they better than me. Or I love when people say that. But I've got to admit that our veterans are far better than me. They are better than me in so many different ways. They did things that I doubt that I'm able to do, or that I would want to do, or that I would just have the fortitude and the strength to do. I mean, I can't fight without guns. Lord, maybe that's why I need one. But I just want to shout out the veterans and say that I love all my veterans, okay? And I want to thank them for their service and for their courage and for doing everything they did for our country. Today's Veterans Day. Many people listen to the show retroactively, but today when the show was live, when it was recorded on Wednesday the 11th, was Veterans Day. So whatever day it is that you're listening, shout out the veterans. Thank you, veterans. All right. Now, I'm not going to lie. I thought Asia would be here by now. But she will be here, I do believe. I do believe because I have faith in my sister. Have faith in her. But we're having a good time here. We're having a good time. Minister Mike Berger is going to join us in a few short moments. And we're doing it. All right. Now, obviously, I gave those numbers. So we're not talking about on this particular show. Well, we will talk about youth from church, but we're not talking about mainly youth from church. We're talking about the ones who weren't necessarily raised in church, even though I wouldn't doubt that a lot of people in that number. So anyway, the problem we have here, before we get to getting them into church, which I also want to get into with our guest, the bigger problem, as is the problem with most things, is not getting them, but keeping them, okay? It's easier to maintain or to obtain. It's easier to obtain than it is to maintain, all right? Now, maintaining something is a feat, okay, which is why anniversaries are more important than the wedding, which is why years, tenures, retirement, things that have subsisted, that have stood the test of time are worth celebration, all right? But getting something is not so easily done or not so hard. But I woke up one day, maybe in college, and I just had to look around at the person I've become. And I said, you know what? It was church. It wasn't me. It was God. You know, it was God, and more importantly, it was my involvement in church. I'm different. I'm distinguished. I'm chosen. And this is a realization that I came to as a young person. Me still being a young person, I said, you know what, the hope that I have, the joy that I have, the attitude, the faith, my kindness, all of the role models that I had growing up, my love, this is all a result of God. I'm a better person. I was able to do great things because of God, in spite of myself. And I was much younger when I came to that realization, and it's funny because I woke up one day, like I said, as an older young person, because all young adults are older youth, they're just grown youth, and I said, you know what, I didn't notice that when I was quote-unquote youth or when I was young, because when you're young, you don't see it. Things happen in your mind subconsciously that you don't realize are happening, all the hope and the joy and the love and the attitude, the optimism, all of that stuff is just shoved into the front of your brain and into your attitude, and you don't realize what you're becoming and how you're becoming it and what's making you what you are. But you know what? I realized it, and I'm happy I was where I was. And we have Asia Downing. What's going on?
Hey, I love coming into that strong testimony. I wanted to say thank you.
I mean, hey, you did kind of jump in on the testimony. I don't know if you have one of your own, but
not like that. I'm sitting in the pulpit.
No. That is not what I am. Okay, but hopefully, we will take a trip to not the pulpit, but to some level of the sanctuary in just a moment. I love our special guest. Asia, what you got to say? Why? What's the problem with the youth in church?
I don't think it's instilled like we were when we were a kid. Like, I know, like, I feel like they got options. They got options nowadays. I didn't have a choice, whether to go to church or not. You know, as I got older, I made my own decisions, but I was always in church, and it was always in my home. So I feel like when you have these younger parents or parents that weren't involved in church raising their kids, they're not going on Sunday. And I think that's the problem. They're just saying, I'm not going to church. And you have to, even if you're not paying, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was younger, even if I wasn't paying attention, I was there. Like, I did get something that resonated with me as I got older. And, I still do. I feel like younger parents are there turning up on Saturday and maybe not get up and go to church on Sunday that they'll take their kids. So,
yeah, I mean, let's face it, church has got to be fun. when you're a kid, you've got to like it. You've got to like it for the wrong reasons in order to stay around long enough to like it for the right reasons. because all the right reasons just don't sink in when you're 14 or when you're 13. It pays to have friends in church, people to look up to, and activities. It's just got to be fun. It's funny because a few weeks back we did Is White Church Boring? And I said I can't blame so many white people for not loving church the way black people do, because it just ain't as fun.
Right.
It's just not as fun. And if it's not fun in the beginning, especially when you're young, then you don't really have, because you're not mature enough to have the wherewithal to just stick with it through your adolescence, because there's other stuff you can be doing. I don't know. But unless, like you said, your parents just make you, they just make you go. You got to go.
Yeah.
Got to go.
Absolutely.
Got to go. Got to be there. Fun or not, I got to be there. I got to be there. And it's funny because before you got on the air, I said that around 17 and 18 years old is when a lot of young people say, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's when it hits the age where, not as fun. I don't have to go. No one's making me go.
Right.
Listen here.
I can sleep in.
Listen here. Asia, you ready for Minister Berger?
Yeah, ready.
All right. Well, here he is. This is a man I've looked up to for a very long time, since I was a young man in church, and we were all young in church. And I'm so happy to have him back on the Eric Terrell Show. I remember he did a show for us 2 years ago about gratitude, and then we got to talk about the young people that I am, that we are. And we appreciate his presence. Minister Mike Berger, what's going on? What's going on, Minister Mike?
Good evening, everybody. Once again, Eric, it's always nice to be here, and I'm really grateful that you have asked me to come again to speak to any subject. I think a lot of you as a young man, and I've been listening in, so I'd like to comment on a few of those things. First, happy birthday to your mom, too.
And happy birthday to yours.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things that I want to comment on first is you talked about the 80% of young people from the ages of about 17 through graduation that tend to stop going to church. and pretty much a lot of us, that's when we're kind of given that opportunity to make our own decisions. And like Asia said, when you're kind of forced to go to church and you have the option to not go to church, I always wanted to know what it was like to not be in church on Sunday morning, even what's on TV, or I could watch the sports. But I was given... given the opportunity to make a choice, and I chose not to go as well. But there's a scripture that I know you're familiar with that says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart far from it. That's why it surprised me to the other statistic that stated that 80% of the young people who left during the end of high school and the beginning of college or adulthood, that they didn't return to church. And I don't believe that if they got the word that statistic would be correct.
Yeah, well, the statistic didn't say that they didn't go back to church, because, like I said, it can't prove that, because obviously these people are still out here. So, you know, after that's already been posted online. So, you know, the report would never know whether they went back or not. But the statistic said that they 86% of them stopped going after graduation, and that's what they said, that they wouldn't go back. And I mean, of course, you know, of course, if you stop doing something, you don't stop doing it to keep doing it, to do it again. You know, you stop it to stop it. So of course they would say that. You know what I mean? That's obviously what they're going to say. But I would agree that they would definitely, if they were raised in church, definitely would return.
I agree, and I also have to comment on you made a point about church being fun, and it is the responsibility of the adults to develop a process or a program where we're engaging the young people. That's why you have some churches where they have youth church. Some churches, they pull the younger people out of the regular service and they put them in a service of their own. I don't totally agree with that, but to each his own. But I do think that it is the responsibility of the church and the church leaders to establish some type of program or process that we engage the youth. And no matter what, you have to involve the word. And I think we're going to talk about this a little later on, but the scripture says that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So it's the word, and it's the word of God that it is that draws young people, that draws anyone, adults, young people as well, to Christ. So it's our responsibility. And one other thing I want to state, and then you can comment on it, is that, as I said, it's the adult's responsibility. You know, us as adults, if we don't act like Christians, or if we're not acting like the Word of God, when people see us and we say we're a Christian, but then how we act, it contradicts what we're saying, and why would they want to be involved with that? You know, and young people, if you have young people who go to church and they all, I don't want to use the term all stuck up, though, but all stuck up and aren't really, like, living life, then the idea is that, you know, go to church, I can't do nothing, I'm boring. And that's the wrong interpretation, because you know my opinion on that, which is that for the most part, we can do almost anything that anybody else does. It's just how we do it.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's definitely true. I remember Susie Orman said that your kids don't do what you say, they do what you do.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, their kids are copycats. So if you act a certain way and do a certain thing, then that's what they'll do. As opposed to if you do this and tell them to do a completely different thing. As far as the youth church, and I know you said that the youth things have to be about God. Like, you have to put God in it and put the word in it, and clearly you do if it's a church thing. But the thing, I think one of the big problems that we have is that for adults, they can almost not go to church and still be a Christian. If their faith, I think, is so strong to the point where church would just be a complement to it, because they can read the Bible and they can pray and they can have devotion and they can sing spiritual songs and they can evangelize and they can do all these things probably more than someone who is a member of church or who goes to church religiously would do it. So then that would make that person a Christian. But when it comes to kids or to teenagers or young people, the church is Christianity. Like, there's no Christianity typically outside of church, which is why it's tough, and I know we have to, but it's tough to put the God in the church, because they're not there for the God. You know, even when they're outside of church, they're not reading the Bible, they're not praying, they're not doing all these things, they don't know the doctrine. So I think that's part of the reason, if we answer the question why youth hate church or why young people don't like church, is the structure. So how do we fix that?
I agree with that to a certain extent, but we still have to understand what church is about. Church is about God. The reality is the building, the church, is just a building, housing, fellowship, a worship of God's people. The church is God's people. So it is the responsibility of God's people to make sure, because, you know, Jesus gave us a commission. He's the Great Commission. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So even as a young person, kind of what we present as Christians and as young people, I'm saying is, I believe, a large reason why church is hated. You get past it. We have to first get past the point that most kids hate the church because their parents made them go and they didn't want to go. They had to get up early in the morning. And I don't want to go to church. I don't want to sit in there. I have to sit in there and listen to this dry pastor or listen to these dry songs or whatever the case, you know. So and that's a large portion of it. So we have to get past that. And I truly believe that's why we have that separation in that time frame. In the latter high school years, early college years, because young people want to go out and find their own way. I really don't think that young people hate the church. Or so if we're saying hate the church, does that mean that we hate God or we just hate the assembly of the saints with the people singing and then that man getting up and talking to me about what I do ain't right?
Right, right. Yeah, that's it. See, I think the youth and most youth don't hate church, but in reference to the youth that do hate church, the phrase why youth hate church is more about the youth that do hate them. You know, we're not saying that youth hate church. We're just saying that we're talking about the ones that do. But they hate church, not God, because it's really God. It's about God. But they don't have a chance to hate God because God is behind all the church. You know what I'm saying? So they hate the church. You know what I mean? So it's like that's the disconnect. But Aza, did you have anything before we before Minister Mike closes us up?
Oh no, I agree with what you said, especially making the point about the word, because like I had said, you know, I didn't really have to understand really what was going on in the church, but that I was there, I still, it still stayed with me, and I still, you know, heard it, and whether I know it, it stuck with me. So I feel like you need to bring the kids in the church, no matter what age, and you keep them in listening to the word so that, you know, they may venture off a little bit and be like, hey, I don't have to go, but they'll eventually come back.
Right, right. Now, Minister Mike, with the last 3 or 4 minutes we have left, if you could just give us one last word as to if there's anything that you haven't said already, however you want to say what you feel the biggest misconceptions are when it comes to the youth in church, and and really why you think they don't like it and how we break down those barriers and what it can do for the spirit of a young person that is going to mature into an adult person.
Eric, you know, you have to be careful when you tell a preacher, you know, go ahead and talk and, you know, however you want to say
it. I was scared. I was scared. And then I said, four minutes. I said, I know he's thinking, what you talking about?
No. But one of the things that I do know, and I didn't say that I want to say, is we are, you know, those children that hate church and the ones that we're talking about, young people, the ones that we're talking about that were not raised in church, and those young people that really haven't engaged God per se, we have to look at their parents because it's the parents' responsibility to make sure that we introduce our children to God. And that's very important for us to introduce our children to God, who is the Savior, Him who is the creator of all, Him who is the provider of all things. And it's very important for us as parents to pass on to our children that anything that happens in life, Scripture says all good things come from the Lord. So any great thing that you want, anything that you want to accomplish, you really need to have God involved, because the reality is He knows the plans that He has for their lives and for them, for hope in the future and expected end. So He knows their destiny, where they're going. So you need to talk to God to know where you're going, and that's the parents' responsibility. One. The other thing that I think is very important, and I'm going to use you and y'all squad as a perfect example. The Divine Nine. And I watch the Divine Nine. You know, I've spent a lot of time with you guys, whether it be in church, outside of church, out here in my house, the whole nine. And I've watched you guys, how you interact with each other. And even when you guys, because everybody right now, whether it be working or what have you, aren't attending church regularly like you guys did. But one thing I know about you all is you always make sure that you spend time together. And in that conversation that you guys have, you're always talking about God in some manner or another. I said that to say that the example that is set by young people is what will draw other young people in, basically using the scripture where God said, if I be lifted up. So it's not always what you say that speaks God's word. It's what you do that speaks God's word. Action is louder than words. What we do is the most effective evangelism tool that we have. So we should be conscious of that and make sure and understand that people are watching us. And I might be my actions. Oh Jesus, this might be hurting me a little bit, but my actions might be affecting or causing someone not to want to know about God, because I say I'm a Christian and I love God, but I act like a joker. You know what I mean? So we as young people and we as people, period, servants of God, servants of the Most High God, should take into account who we are a servant of, and then watch our actions and have great integrity and character, so that when someone sees me, no matter what I say, they see the word of God, and then that's how their actions. They tend to want to know who He is, and that's our witness, and then maybe they'll stop.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. You know you're the man. Minister Mike? We got disconnected. All right. Well, Minister Mike. He closed us out well. Probably so well.
You told him 4 minutes. He ended 4 minutes.
Oh yeah. And as he said at the end there, I mean, it's like me and my friend, one of my best friends, of course, the son of Minister Mike Berger, raised in church. And the best thing that it gives you is love, and love can break down so many barriers that it opens doors that wouldn't open without God, okay? Because love is the common denominator. So you got to love people. Love yourself, love others, love the truth, and love love. It's not hard to love love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love, and God did it, okay? Best black comedian, send it in, okay? Season finale survey, baby. Oh, man. It's going to be good, Asia. It's going to be good.
This is a hard one, but it's going to be good.
I know. It's a funny one.
I'm interested to see.
Oh, yeah.